this morning. And I want to title this, Unlike Eve, We Waited for the Voice of Authorization to Eat. Unlike Eve, we waited for the voice of authorization to eat. Amen. Now, when we look at this, you will find this morning that the tree of life and the book of life, the tree of life and the little book as it relates to the bride of Jesus Christ is basically the same. See? You don't have one thing, the tree of life. I'm talking about for the bride. Now, as Brother Gentry brought in his message, that the book of life has all of those that has life in any sense of the word. But I like the thought you brought in, Brother Gary, on the seals. That the book that was sealed, seven seals, had to do with the church ages and all. And then the Lamb that took the book, the little book in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, then there it's seven horns and seven eyes, the bloody Lamb, which connected to the little book that's sealed with seven seals, which put it in a category for us. Yeah, so we don't have to, it's not out here floating around connected every way, but it's zeroed in on the category, and it's for the bride of Christ. Amen. So that's good there. And so we're going to be dealing with that. And also I want to deal with this also in the message. The tree of life was set in the garden, but there was also another tree that was more visible and that was more accessible and that could be approached to from the physical standpoint. Amen. And there was someone there saying, eat this. See, making it more of it was a temptation to eat of the tree of knowledge without the tree of life being involved. See. Amen. And that has been the picture all the way through. Even where we're at today. Amen. And especially coming up to the time where we took the book and began to eat, there has been a voice, there has been something that God allowed, and it has been more visible, more look like excitingly with more momentum, the moves has been more so than waiting on the voice to eat, see. So that's the way it's been, and so there had to be somebody say, no, I'm going to wait to take the book. I don't have all the answers on everything, but I'm going to stay the course until I see clearer, because there's been times when we were looking through a glass darkly and we could only feel our way. The word says, feel at the Lord if perhaps you'll find Him, and so on, and follow on to know the Lord. And that's the way the walk has been in this generation as God began to restore back the Word. Every time God was bringing life or giving opportunity to eat from the book, there was also a counterpart that was more exciting to the human realm and more enticing in a louder voice saying, come and eat with us. See? Amen. And Brother Brown's messed the same way. That's when the things begin to rise up, the different groups of Pentecostals, and then it sprang forth to it. We got revival centers. And it's not unusual for revival centers or worship centers, and they call them such like names, where everybody come together and rejoice, speak with tongues, and they're really blessed physically. Yeah, and financially. Brother Ingman from out in Eureka, California, I believe you're right. What's the name for the place? He came here and he spoke. He said he went, there was a big meeting, so I'm just going to go over there and see what's going on. Well, he went over and he says they were rejoicing. He said it just got milky looking and cloudy looking. And they were blessed, they were shouting, they were talking in tongues and having all kind of outward emotion that you would think, I died and went to heaven. See? But then, give them some word for the hour, then it was like pouring cold water on them. I mean, it just, everything died away immediately. Amen. So, there's always been the other side as God was giving life, and that's His purpose of testing. He's going to have everything that come into His kingdom somewhere or another. We come through trials. We come through different things, but yet we got our eyes on something, and we just keep going towards that, irregardless of what it looks like otherwise. Hallelujah. And that's the way it's been with this particular part of the Word of God that we've been preaching here, see. There's been a counterpart that looks much, much better from the natural eye. And the speakers might have been more eloquent in some ways, depending on what you're looking at, natural or spiritual. I think an eloquent speaker is one that speaks the Word of God, don't you? Praise God. So that's what I want, but we've waited, and we've come into something. We've passed the point where the mighty angel raised his hand to heaven and swore that time is no more. And we've passed the point where that eating of the little book is only done as the ministry feed it to you. See, there was a time, and it was said, and I'm not sure it weren't a lot of truth to the statement, that you probably is not going to get it till the preacher get it first and preach it. You know, but that's not so now at all. Because as we're baptized into the body of Christ, we eat the little book, the body prophesies. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Amen. We all receive of the Lord, see? Amen. And once this take place and we have begun eating, then the enticement of the other side, it just has a way of vanishing. Because you're in Christ, you can no longer be tossed to and fro. You cannot be lost. You cannot be deceived. And I was hearing a message Thursday night on the website. And there was one constant, the main theme of it was, it's going to be so close, it'll deceive the very next. Said it looks so good. It looks so good, but don't fall for it. And a constant warning, warning, warning. Well, once you eat the little book, take it in your hand, then there's no way for you to be deceived nor tossed to and fro. Hallelujah. So that's where we've come. And unlike, that's where the title of the message come in, unlike Eve, who decided this isn't going like I think it ought to. You know, I believe there ought to be more going on than what is. Well, now look over here, they got this, and it's working there, and look how good everything's working. Can this be God when it's a constant struggle? Well, you might look at Paul. He went up to Jerusalem in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts. And he'd been over in Asia and different places. And he had some large crowds at times to preach to. But at other time, he went like he went into Asia. He said, no man stood with me, only the Lord. And then there was a few of the ministers that he thought highly of, and they said, they forsake me, and so on and so forth. And one time he said, only Luke is with me, I believe, or something. And so we see it went that way. But when he went up to Jerusalem, James came out and said, brother, you see how many thousands they are that believe. And they're very zealous of the law. He said, now let me tell you how to do this thing. Go into the temple, and we got some men with a head shaven, got balm on them, and say, go through the stage of purification, and said, the word has gotten out that you're not with us 100%. Word has gotten out that you're teaching the people they don't have to circumcise their children and keep the law of Moses. Said, now let me tell you how to get back in. Let me show you how we can, how to get in fellowship here. You know, says, go ahead and get the sacrifice offered and so on like that. And at that time, God has already laid the foundation. He's already introduced the bride. He's already fulfilled that part of what he was going to do before the church went into church age. So Paul went in the temple and he started dabbling around with them a little bit. And there was a fellow that said, hey, this man here, I saw him over there, said he's bringing an Ephesian in here to defile this holy place. And there was an uproar. And they were about to tear Paul apart. Now they do it spiritually, see. And the soldiers came in and rescued him. Then, but his ministry went into another phase. It didn't end. He went in. That's where we get some of these good books out, like Ephesians and Colossians, Philippians, where we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So all these things were laid in there, and they were laid in not particularly for them at that time, because the church has already begun to fall away. But God laid it in here for us when we come back to the homeland. Hallelujah. So we have it today, don't we? Amen. So I'm going to read here. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've got your Bible, thy book, thy word open before us, I pray, God, that you will anoint us as we read, and that you will grant us grace to speak the words that you would have us speak this morning. And I pray that the words, as they go forth, they will find a lodging place in the hearts of the people, and they'll, as one says, will prosper where you stand. And they'll bless, and they'll accomplish that which you've ordained. I pray, God, for that anointing, not only upon myself, but upon the hearers. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, now, this message here is going to be like a link in a chain. And it'll be another link to the chain. Now, I used to do logging in the woods and so forth. And years ago, if a chain broke, it was a real problem. But later on, they came out with these things you can put the chain together. You saw that in Brother Tom. If chain break, like 2 foot broke off, well, sometimes they just discard that or something and go buy a new, another chain. But then they came out with these things to put them together. And they're stronger where they were put together than the regular, than the other. So there's links in this. And links where there's weakness, and if there's a breakage, then thank God we can repair it by updated revelation. How many heard that now? We can repair it by updated revelation and keep the chain of revelation intact, see? Amen. Let me read this and not, but this does go with the other message of late. And I'm reading in Genesis 2 and verse 8, and we've read this of more recent times. It says, and the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he has formed. Now he's going to give some instruction. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now this grows, I want you to, you might want to underline this part, grows out of the ground. So this is talking about physical fruit. Amen, fruit trees. So this here is something, then he goes into another realm, which is spirit. And he says here, the tree of life also. Yeah. That's good, ain't it? I got that also on the line. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Now, I want you to notice here the tree of life also. But the strange thing about this is, and we've mentioned on another tape in case you might not have got might have missed this point. The strange thing about it, it never was authorized for them to eat of the tree of life. Amen. There would come a time when it would be, because that at that time the tree of life had to do with the reproduction of the human race, bringing children in the earth, and the revelation of the Word of God. And of course, we know that God, it fell away as God foresaw and knew. That's why He made provision. Amen. That's why Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Did you see that? He knew what would take place. And He put it there. So the tree of life was there, but God never did say, go eat of the tree of life. Amen. The voice of authorization hadn't come to Eve yet. See, but it would. Amen. It would have been in the sense of allowing her body to bring forth and so on without the going into that part, as we've covered, and Brother Jackson has covered it thoroughly, on the law tree of the two trees of Eden, I believe, and two laws of Eden. And the thing is, this one, the tree of life part, never was used. And it sat there until after the fall, and then God removed it and took it away so that it could not be eat in that form. See? Unless He said, you eat and live forever, see? So it could not be eat in that form. Hallelujah, but God hadn't finished yet. His plan was still going, and He knew exactly what He was going to do, see? Amen. So thus cometh the title. And that voice of authorization in Revelation chapter 10, see? Go take the book now. Well, Eve never did get that because she couldn't wait. And there's people today that didn't get that because they couldn't wait. See, they wanted to do it this way. They wanted to do it the way Grandma and Grandpa and all those folks used to do it. Yeah, and they wanted to, they didn't want to rock the boat, so to speak. They wanted to stay with the status quo. Well, that was church age. See, there was a time in the Bible that's called the Kingdom of Heaven Age, and it has to do with the seven church ages. And during that time, God specifically permitted certain things to take place, because He knew the tree of life weren't available in this form, so He permitted certain things to take place until it run its course of seven church ages. Even the wheat and tares, He said, let them both grow together. Amen. A man come by the other, sometime back, he was a Baptist minister that I'd known for some time. And he's heard me preach funerals and so forth. He always comment on and say, enjoy what I have to say, you know. But he said to me, I said, well, how's your church doing? Because he started pastoring another work that I'd heard about. He said, oh, it's doing good. It's doing real good. So, of course, we have our centers there, and we have our, and he went away, and I'm not going to say all what he said they had there in the group, you know. He said, but that's all right. You know, the Bible says let them all grow together. And God would separate them at the end time. Well, I tell you one thing. We've done come to that end time there. It's already come. It's already separated. Can you say amen? And God's already given us the little book and we're eating and we're not under that law anymore. But see, some couldn't wait. They want to have the kaons in order to draw more people in that it will look good for them. Amen. But that's not what important, what is look good. It's what is good. Amen. And sometimes God let a trial or a test to be there. Now the serpent, he had some word, because he said, "Yea, as God said." And told Eve, "Wow, look at all nature out here. How what's happened? Oh, why, sure, you can have a child and you can and so on and carrying on like that." So, and he persuaded Eve. And Brother Brown said Eve couldn't wait. And so that's why the churches today can't wait. They got to get out there and do something themselves rather than come in and wait upon the Lord. The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as an eagle. Hey, they'll run, they'll not be weary, they'll walk and they'll not be faint because they waited. Amen. They waited till they could see the way. Hallelujah. And then when they stepped to the pulpit, the preachers, then they knew where I'd be speaking. Amen. I mean, it weren't no guess, so I think so, or maybe so. Amen. It was God's Word brought back again in this hour with the same Jesus, the same power, the same Spirit. Amen. Christ and the bride totally united in a marriage. Hallelujah. Amen. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Praise God. Amen. So the garden, the tree was in the garden, and also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I could go, you've heard me go a long time on these things. So I'm not going to go on, but God says, the day you eat thereof, that day you'll surely die, see, if you partake of this tree of knowledge. But I want you to notice the tree of knowledge, it was good and evil. It was good if you wait till the time. They say it takes time to make good wine. I don't know, I've never made any. not in many, many years, at least. But the thing is, sometimes you just wait on the Lord till He tells you what to do. Now the tree of knowledge is it weren't so that the tree was so bad itself. It was the usage of the tree, because it definitely could produce good. Amen. But other, outside of God's original ordained way, it would be evil. Same thing today. Amen. Now, so Eve, unlike Eve, we waited. Now, all the way through, there has been another side to this thing. Amen. Even Israel coming through in the land. I'm not going to carry you through a long history of the word, how it went. But the nations, everybody looked good out there. They looked like the king and everything so flowering, so good, bringing it through. Amen. And they would say about the children of Israel, they're just a little beat down people, but God said, "I didn't choose you because you were the greatest, you know." Amen. But He took the smallest number and did it. A little ragtag bunch. But they had the will of God, the Word of God. They had a prophet of God. Amen. And I'll tell you this right now. Of all the groups in the world, and of all the nations in the world, God only sent one nation a prophet. Now think about that. Of all the groups. Amen. Now think. Put on your thinking caps. Of all the groups and religious systems in the world. Amen. God only sent a prophet to the nation of Israel. Amen. Now, what about the other nation? No, God sent Moses to go bring my people out. Amen. That's what God's interested in, bringing His people out. Amen. And of all the great religious systems with all their money and all their finery and all their assemblies of God and church of gods and all these things, here come a prophet. A little place in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Amen. Everybody, big air-conditioned place. That was a man in a little wooden building and no air conditioning, a big old wood heater there. Amen. And when they get through preaching, just sit around and talk about the Word. And they'd ask questions and all. And all this big thing out there. And this was a man that could that God used. He laid hands on the sick and they got well, discernment and all this. Yet there he was back in that little place. And they said, come and join up with us. You know. Amen. Well, see, that's what was in the garden, see. There was, God's law says there's a tree of life sitting here. But the old serpent said, now you ain't gonna die if you don't have to wait for that. I've got another plan. Amen. I can send you all over the world. Amen. You ain't gonna have to worry about paying bills or anything of that nature the serpent said, I can send you all over the world. See, that's the other side, but trust in Him. He'll bring you out. Trust in Him. He will show you the way. Trust in Him. He will give you that little book. But on the other side, He's going to let enough things come along that it will be kind of enticing to go the other way. And He lets our human side show enough. And we're human, and we've all got our faults and failures. He'll let some faults or failures or something be highlighted so that you'll say, well, now I tell you, I thought that was God, and I felt like it was, and I felt good, and I thought I saw it. But I'm seeing this thing ain't running as good as I thought it was going to run. Have you got a revelation, sir? See, there's a tree of life sitting there. God just ain't said eat it yet. He said, I ain't waiting. Somebody told me the other day, we need to get the show on the road. You know. Amen. Well, in other words, don't piddle around, fool around, preach a little message. And we were over in the country of Zambia, I believe it was. This preacher, he probably had 700,000-800,000 people. I ministered for him some. But he said, Ben, don't waste your time and money coming to Africa and going to these small little groups out here. Says, we can guarantee you 10,000 people if you'll come to us and plant with us. You'll have at least 10,000 to preach to. There you are going out there in them little villages and preaching to them and all that. Said, you don't have to do that. He said, it's a great waste. Barbara, bear witness. It's a waste. Well, waste, to whom it was a waste? Amen. I know it's not a waste. It's right, see? Amen. It's right to go where God leads you. Someone could have looked at Philip, leaving that big revival in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. There was hundreds, the whole city coming out. Devils come out crying with loud voices. People being delivered, and all of a sudden, here come an angel and messed his program up. God sent an angel and said to Philip, arise. Go down into the desert. So there's a man down. He's a eunuch. He's riding on us, going down to a chariot. So I want you to go down there. Well, wait a minute, Lord. You sure? I'm here. Maybe my mind's playing tricks on me. Am I hearing right? Here's thousands of people, and you want me to lead this big meeting and go down there to one person? Lord, that can't be right. He said, go. Amen. He went down and got one converted, and he went on his way rejoicing and to vindicate that God's with him. Philip was caught up by the Spirit of the Lord and set over in another town. Hallelujah. See, the temptations, God lets certain things come that looks good. Amen. And therefore, we've had to walk the straight line. But we get to a place, he says, when he'll give you the book, which he had, the little book, and Ephesians 4 said you'll reach the stature of the man Christ Jesus, perfect, and says, at that time, said, you'll no longer be tossed to and fro. It's over with. Your battle's won. I believe our battle's won. As far as being pulled this way or pulled that way by religious groups or by big meetings or by preachers, put it in the Word. Amen. If it's in the Word, it don't matter if it's 200, or 200,000. Amen. If it's the Word, go with that. And if God wants you out here on the desert, amen, alone for a while, you go on. Hallelujah. Well, I believe if it was God, it'd be more people and more this and more that. Amen. Well, God's going to put something over here with more people, more spirit, more shouting, more talking in tongues, and more of these things. Amen. So, okay, there it is. You get up and hear the preacher preach. Amen. Barbara went down here at the ball ground to this harvest time, I believe. A harvest, something, I forgot what it was. Don't matter anyway. But he says, Barbara asked him, well, about baptism. He said, oh, we'll do it either way. It don't matter anyway. You know, it don't matter. We'll do it either way. Just come on. And if you want to be baptized, and if you don't want to be baptized, that's all right too. But if you do, if you want to get wet, we'll baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or Jesus, whichever one you want to do. Amen. Look what a crowd we got. Look what's taking place. Amen. She said, thank you, but no thanks. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's the way this thing is. Amen. There's always the other side pulling. Now, we've come through this. Now, I'm going to jump real quickly ahead here because I see I'm got a bad habit of getting too long. So, I'll just jump over here. Amen. On their Pentecost, God let them eat from the tree of life. Amen. There was life there. But they never did come in possession of it because they weren't to be the wife, the bride anyway. But he gave them life. He'll give the 144,000 life after the bride's gone. And it's the same life of Christ. But there's a specific thing that's for the bride. Amen. It was put in Paul, and Paul said, I am the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles. See? Amen. Said, unto me is committed this gospel. Amen. Said, in my own body is made up of that which is liking the suffering of Christ, that I may suffer for his body, which is the church. Colossians 1:24. Amen. Read both verses. Amen. But the thing is, God reveals certain things to him about a Gentile. You read the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. In there, amen, it says Christ, he came to the covenant people and so on. But immediately after he said that, Jesus Christ came as a minister to those folks. Amen. Before Peter, that was when he was explaining why Jesus came, why he came to the nation of Israel and offered himself as a king. But then he went right from that and began to quote scriptures that related to the Gentile. In him will the Gentiles trust. And all the way down, then get on over there in verse 16, he said, I am the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentile. And he said, I'm preaching I'm not building up on another man's foundation. Amen. Romans 15. Amen. Because it was to be something more specific. Some people said, Ben Howard preached that was 13 apostles. Well, it could have been 14, 15, I don't know. But that was 12 to Israel. But there was one, I said that just to throw off, to get their aim messed up at the one shoot. Amen, to readjust their sight, because the bullet will miss, you know. But the point being here is, amen, if there's 10,000 apostles, they'd say what Paul said, but there weren't. He was the one. He says, I have begotten you. Amen. He said, you got 10,000 instructors, maybe. You could have that many, I think, the way it was rendered better. You could have 10,000 instructors in Christ. He said, but I have begotten thee. And it said, you don't have many fathers. You only have one father. Now, the prophet came and restored us back to the faith of the fathers. Amen. That means what the church, how the church taught and what was preaching, all the apostles together there, and the word they brought. Amen. But later on, in this hour, God is separating the bride on that. And He revealed that there's one Father with the gospel for the Gentile. And He took the other of what the other said, the apostles, and He took the parts out that would fit into the Gentile thing and laid a foundation. Amen. And by the wisdom of God, God helped him to connect that Gentile church into that Jewish branch, that it may get all that life and good, get everything that Jesus came to pay for, the Gentile bride gets it. Amen. Now, I'm going to quote here a little bit. Maybe I should read, I don't know. But in Romans, the 7th chapter, it's the Lord. I believe I'll just, Romans chapter 7, and let's read. Oh, I'll start at verse 7 here. It says, what shall we say then? The law, or the word. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not lust. Actually, verse 8, where I really want to get. Says, but sin taking occasion by the commandment. Now, I'm not going to have time to take that apart and get other translations on it in here. But what he's saying here, because of the law. Amen. The law was good, but it took more than that. The law itself only showed me what it was. That's why he's saying, yeah, I realized I was a sinner and I died. The more law they poured on me, the worse shape I got. See, that's basically what he's saying here. And then he goes on, by taking occasion by the command, wrought in me all manners of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. Watch. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Amen. He was fooling around with a book here. It took more than just... It took something else on this. You're messing with something that'll kill you. Amen. And then maybe if I get any question on this, it will go on and another time bring this out more. But the point that I want to make is the very thing that was ordained to life kill, first place, the one the seed that the law was said would come, fix this up, it was Christ. Amen. The seed had to come. Hallelujah. And you're getting over here in Galatians 3, and I'm not going to turn to it, but in Galatians chapter 3, and not a big book. You might want to read more than just that. But it talks about there about the law. It came what it was to do. And the question said, if the law can't save you, what was the law for? Say, well, why? Why have the Word if the Word can't save you? Why have preachers go to college and learn how to preach seminaries if what they're saying can't save you? Say, amen. But he says, it's confirming what I just read here, the law showed sin. And the law was until the seed should come to whom the law was written. Amen. But the promise of God was given 430 years before the law ever came. And when the law came, amen, those carnal people, it just killed them because it took the Spirit of God to bring forth that law in them. And you go on over in the 8th chapter, which we're not going to do this morning, but 8th chapter, the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. So, the tree of life, the life, without the life, this word to kill you. This word is, in a way, it's kind of like a gun. It can protect you and help you, or you can take it and kill yourself with it. Amen. That's what Paul, I was doing all right till the law came, but he said I died. Let's see here. I'll figure up. The commandment came, sin revived, I died. The commandment that was ordained to life. Now watch this. The commandment that was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. I'm going to leave that off because we get on over. There's so much that we won't be. But what I want you to show, now I want to go on to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And we may have to just drop this off here and not try to go much further. But what I showed you there, the Word, it'll kill you. Well, yes, do the Bible give life? Yes, there's life there, but it has to be proportioned right. Amen. That tree of knowledge, it was fine. It was good because everything that God made, He saw it was good, and that included the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. Of course, these were laws. Amen. But it had to wait on God's time to connect them, bring forth children. So has children brought forth today, just in the natural? Strictly by the tree of knowledge. Because the tree of life's not in that realm, it's in a new birth realm now. It's in a revelational realm. Praise God. So here's what I want to read. Paul talking about written epistles, and your written epistles, and written not with ink, and I'm in verse 3, I'm just halfway, just reading Paul. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of your heart. Now he's telling where the real Word's at. Amen. Not talking about the Bible, because verse 6, and I'm going to get here because of time, and instead of reading more. But verse 6 says, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. Now he's able minister of the New Testament. Amen. And there was very little New Testament wrote at this time. Just like the book of Acts 19 and 10 says, all Asia heard the words of the Lord Jesus. It was preach, Holy Ghost, Word with life in it. Amen. And it weren't so much letter of the Word. You say, are you discrediting the Word of the Lord? No, I'm saying the Word of the Lord has to, you've got to have the worship God in spirit and in truth. See? Amen. You got to have the Word and the Spirit, because the next part of this says, able minister of the New Testament, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth. The same thing in the Garden of Eden. It'll kill you just as sure as the world without God's Spirit. It'll kill a congregation. The preacher can get up, he'll condemn them and spew condemnation out all the time, quoting Scripture while he's doing it. And the people walk out, Paul said, it slew me. See? I'll tell you, people felt like they've been slewed. Or slayed. Use my own word. People feel like I went to church today and I got slayed. I got cut low. I came out, I was cut to pieces. Amen, I got slayed. Well, amen, Paul said it slew me. But then you go on to the 8th chapter of Romans, which we didn't attempt yet. Amen, he began to talk about that spirit of life. Made us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. But here, notice he says here, the letter killeth, but it's the spirit that giveth life. Now, there's life. Amen. There's the tree of life, the book of life. Amen. And we find in the book of Revelation chapter 3, just as it was picked up from Eden and they couldn't get to it, the Bible says the tree of life's in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. The only way you get to it is by revelation, not by studying, not by learning, not by anything, but by revelation. It's the Lord gave you out of that tree of life. Amen. Well, we see Jesus Christ coming back. Amen. Let me see where I'm at. Oh, I've got to wind this out here. Jesus Christ came back. The tree of life came back again, see. Then on their Pentecost. But then it came back through Paul for the Gentiles. And Paul was a thorough, a perfect representation of the tree of life. Because he said, God said, I have made you to be a light to the Gentiles. Somebody said, I thought Jesus was. Well, he was, but you got to see why he, Jesus, that was Jesus. When Paul walked out and preached the word, that wasn't Paul, that was Jesus. Amen. He brought life. And Paul said, the letter, if you just going to preach the letter of the word, it'll kill. Got to be the spirit. Now, eat the little book. See, God took the understanding away of much of what Paul laid in there. Amen. Part of it was for instruction that day in different ways. And I'm not going to try to cover all this in a broad sense here because of the time situation. But, amen, the life of the Word did not come back in the form of the little book until after the church ages were over, seven seals were open, amen, and the angel raised his hand to heaven and swore that times no more, that's for the kingdom of heaven age. In that age, they only got portions and so on, and they had to live among situations, and they had to be careful not to get deceived. See, there's men among you right now, as soon as I'm gone, they're going to rise up and they're going to draw disciples after themselves. I couldn't preach that today. Because the only one comes into this is those that are baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ, and not a one of them's out to deceive. Not a one of them's out to draw disciples after themselves. Amen. They all speak the same thing, see eye to eye, and they recognize Jesus Christ as the head of the church. And they recognize the church as a group of people that receive revelation that can even help the preacher. Come on. Amen. That's baptized into the body. That's taking the little book now. That is waiting, unlike Eve now. We've waited. We didn't try to jump out there and, well, let me say this. I'm going to be called something anyway, so I'll just go ahead and say it. We didn't jump out there and try to buck Brother Jackson on preaching seven men, the seventh seal ain't open. We just waited because God in His intimate wisdom would let times come up on me that I would see, I would be looking many times through a glass darkly, but I couldn't get the handle on it just right until the time came. You see what I'm saying? I couldn't get the handle on it just right. But then once the voice of authorization came, amen, we were preaching it different, and at times we would preach it strong. Then at other times we would, as a human that we are, we'd back off and look at it and maybe not know for sure on certain things. See? And that's all right. That's the way God said it would be. He said a fivefold ministry would come and feed the church from the hand of God through the ministry. But when when John, being a type of the bride, not just a type of the ministry, the whole body takes the little book. And that's God's time. We waited for the voice of authorization. Unlike Eve, we waited for the voice of authorization. Now we're married to Christ. We've become His wife. We're clothed in fine linen, clean and white. The third part, was that the third part of the third bull, Brother Gary, or the third bull? Amen. Amen. You see what I'm saying? We've waited, we've come into it, and here it is. It's to those that have revelation, it's just as clear as the noonday sun. He comes, His face like a sun, but He's hid with a cloud. What is the cloud? Well, the cloud is things that God allows to form to keep us from seeing clearly until that time. In the world, the only thing they see now is a cloud. Or see a little group of people that they say, well, my sister Stella May down here, she's 83 year old. She said, I tell you, I wish you'd just close down there and come back down with us. Says, you know, we love you and we will, I tell you, you'll have a bit of trouble blending right in with us and we'll just have a good time if you'll come back home. Well, I'm back home. But it's not that. I found a new home. I found a new master. Amen. It's not a denominational master. It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I found some new food. It's eating out of a little book and it's as sweet as honey. Hallelujah. How many sees the wisdom of God, how He puts something on the other side to try you, to test you? But somehow, all the time He was doing that, He put a little revelation way down on the inside of the inside of the inside that you felt, somehow this is right. I may not understand all the ins and outs, but I tell you, I got a feeling this is right. And then it got the way get clearer. The Bible says in the book of Job, the path of a righteous man, God makes it, is as a light, white, that shineth more and more until the perfect day. Amen. Then the voice is over here. The voice is over here. The big carry-on's over here. And then this old serpent, don't tempt Eve no more. God took care of that. And I'll tell you, God has took care of anything that would tempt us and try to pull us aside. There's no temptation has taken us to try to pull us this way or that way. Since we ate the little book, nothing else will satisfy. Amen. I'm in the way. How was that song going? The bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Praise God. Do you see it? How many sees that unlike Eve, we waited for the voice of authorization? Unlike all the other movements. And I could bring it on down to three stages, Brother Gary. We waited. But that was the voice of authorization. He said, now go take the little book. And we did, and we ate it. Amen. Now we're no longer tossed to and fro. We're the body of Christ.